You're listening to the Witness Podcast, history as told by the people who were there. I'm Dina Newman, and today I bring you the story of 20,000 Polish officers, prisoners of war, who disappeared in the USSR during World War II. Decades later, Russia revealed that they had been shot by Soviet forces in April 1940. The killings, named after one of the villages in which they were executed, are referred to as the Katyn Massacre.
My father was Tadeusz Kaczorowski. He was a young man, full of hope. He was a loving parent, and he taught me skiing, and he was taking my brother and I to hunt rabbits.
Vaclav Kaczorowski has nothing but fond memories of his father, Lieutenant Tadeusz Kaczorowski. He was the most senior military officer in a small Polish town close to the Soviet border. It was an area riddled with ethnic rivalries. The Poles were the ruling minority, but many of the locals were landless Ukrainian peasants. Lieutenant Kaczorowski and his family enjoyed a privileged position.
In that area, my father, although he was only a lieutenant, but he was a big pin, you know, in a small town, you know.
So you were the Polish elite of that place?
Sort of, yes.
And landowners, wealthy people would invite you for parties and that?
Yes, and of course other officers.
But in 1939, Poland's sizable army was about to be put to the test.
At present, Poland has nearly a million men under arms. But within a few hours of war mobilization, that number would be increased to over 4 million. For 20 years, Poland has spent half her budget.
In September 1939, the Polish army fell to German troops on its western border. Initially in eastern Poland, things stayed calm. But 16 days later, in their small town close to the Soviet border, Lieutenant Kaczorowski and his family were woken up by gunfire. Kaczorowski assumed the attackers were armed Ukrainian nationalists who had regularly staged assaults on Polish targets in the area. He hurried his wife and children out of the house to hide.
My father took his gun and we went into the forest and we heard some voices. My father thought that probably Ukrainians are combing the forest looking for people who hid there. We were afraid that Ukrainians might kill us on the spot.
Then, listening to the voices in the forest, Kaczorowski was relieved to realize that these people were not marauding Ukrainians, but Russian soldiers from the Soviet army.
So we came out, leaving the guns hidden in the bushes.
You assumed that you would be safe?
Yes, because Poland had a non-aggression pact with Soviet Union and, of course, was under attack by Germans.
The family was detained for questioning, then released. But Lieutenant Kaczorowski was kept behind. Still convinced that it was just a misunderstanding, the Kaczorowski family made their way home.
We went past the Polish barracks and we could see that the gate was blown up and there were some bodies lying around.
Now it was clear that eastern Poland had been invaded by the Soviet army. But what the Poles called an invasion, Moscow proclaimed to be a liberation of local Ukrainians from Polish imperialism. Under a pact with Nazi Germany, Moscow annexed eastern Poland, and the region was now known as Western Ukraine. After the occupation, Vaclav remembers a surge of resentment against the Poles. Meanwhile, his father had been moved to a detention camp in Russia, along with thousands of other captive Polish officers. From there, he sent regular postcards home. Vaclav has just 4 of his father's cards left, including the last one, addressed to his aunt.
He says that, "I received the last card from you in December. You wrote that you sent me a parcel with cigarettes, which I haven't yet received. I require trousers and a hat, and I received certain items of clothing which you sent before."
What's the date?
February, I think. February. From Starobielsk?
From Starobielsk, which was the detention camp.
Where 4,000 Polish officers were held, and later on they were shot.
The Gasiorowski family were never informed about their father's execution. Instead, in April 1940, they too were deported to the USSR under a false pretext.
They were telling us that we are going to join our fathers, that they cannot be released, they will be settled there, you know, there's a war, this, that, etc. Of course, we knew that it was a lie.
Although they recognized it was a lie, they had no choice. For the next 2 years, the Gasiorowski family were exiled in Soviet Central Asia with no more news of their father. It seemed that the Soviet authorities had forgotten all about him. Then, in 1941, the USSR entered the war against Nazi Germany, and suddenly Poland became Moscow's ally.
A triumph of diplomatic good sense culminates at the Foreign Office, Whitehall.
Britain brokered the agreement between the Polish leader in exile, General Sikorsky, and Moscow.
Sign an agreement of unity. General Sikorsky,
the Gasiorowskis, along with over a million Poles held captive in the USSR, learnt the news. Stalin had agreed to set them free.
Furthermore, a great new army will be formed from the Poles who are in Russia.
But where were the 20,000 captive Polish officers who would serve in this great new Polish army?
People were saying, well, what happened? And of course, when General Sikorsky came to Russia in December 1941, he asked Stalin why the officers are not. He said, oh, Russia is a big country. They will be released, you know, have patience.
But the Polish officers were gone. Then, in April 1943, the German occupiers announced that they had found thousands of bodies of Polish officers who had been shot dead by the Soviets. Initially, only one location, the village of Katyn in western Russia, was mentioned.
Everybody assumed that everybody was murdered in Katyn.
And when you heard the news of Katyn coming from the Germans, did you trust them?
Yes, we did. Because, you see, one doesn't have to be very intelligent, you know, to put two and two together.
For decades, the USSR blamed the crime on the German occupiers and refused an international investigation.
The Allies knew, Churchill knew, Roosevelt knew, but to keep Russians fighting, they were engaging 200 German divisions on the Eastern Front. Why rub them the wrong way? And they were fighting, and they won the war.
Only in 1990, Moscow finally accepted the responsibility and disclosed two more mass graves. That's when Václav was finally able to piece together his father's last journey from his detention camp in early April 1940.
Starobielsk is 6 hours by train east of Kharkov. Every day, they were putting 100 or 150 on the train. They arrived in Kharkov late in the afternoon. They were processed who they were, etc. They were shooting them at night and then taking them outside Kharkov to the dumping grounds where they were buried in 20, graves.
Even today, Russia has yet to classify the Katyn massacre as a war crime.
We never got any compensation. They never apologized to us.
So what you would expect now is an apology and a compensation from Russia. Now,
yes.
As a successor state to the Soviet Union.
Yes.
After the war, Václav Gasiorowski and his family ended up as refugees in Britain. Mr. Gasiorowski still lives in London. That's it from this edition of Witness with me, Dina Newman. If you are enjoying our podcasts, check out Daily Commute, an award-winning news podcast from a highly creative World Service team.